Hey, can you hear me?
Yo.
All right, good.
All right, hopefully it stays this way, because my head... They kept playing audio out of my phone instead of my headphones. I don't know why.
Oh, that's weird. This is Daniel.
I wish editing wasn't so annoying on the app.
Is it annoying?
It's just, like, kind of difficult. Especially, like... not being experienced with it.
Yeah. I wonder if it's better on the website.
They don't have editing on the website
Jesus
yet.
Jesus Christ.
They're like solely app-based at this point.
That's weird. It's really weird.
How do I sound?
You sound good.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
I should probably stop reading this comic book and focus.
Maybe.
No, we want all your comic book content.
All right, cool. So, I'm reading a series called Dr. Aphra. This is probably going to take about 2.5 hours of backstory to get you up to speed.
All right, good. Yeah, ready.
And we're actually pivoting from automation, and we're just recording a podcast on this.
All right, so if you're familiar with the 1977 film A New Hope. I'm running out of steam. I don't think I can keep that up. Oh, thank God. Someone else is here.
Don't starve with me, Riley.
You just missed him explaining Star Wars comics.
Oh, it was so good. I just want to record a good podcast today, guys.
All right.
Funny. Back on topic. Okay, you guys already start, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. So, welcome back to the podcast that does not have a title at this point and has never recorded an episode before, but I'm saying welcome back. We can just start with an introduction of you guys. Whoever wants to go first.
All right, I'll start. So, my name's Alex. Went to high school with Liam. I'm currently an economics major and political science minor at a state college near where we grew up.
I'll go next. Riley. I also went to high school with Alex and Liam, and I'm a digital media and peace studies major at a private school in Wisconsin.
And I'll finish up this quartet. My name's Josh. Went to high school with the lads. I studied computer science at a Nazi college in Virginia.
Which one?
Virginia Tech.
Oh, that one.
The other one, okay.
All right, so, today, as anyone who's listening to this probably already knows, we're going to be focusing on automation and AI and the impact that it's going to have on society and the economy. So just in order to start off, what are your guys' initial thoughts on automation?
Probably good in the long term. I mean, if we can just get away from the whole wage labor system, I feel like you can't really go wrong with that as long as we make sure that people stay, like, have their needs fulfilled by some sort of societal measure.
Well, yeah, like, it's cool. Like, it would be dope to someday just have everything done by not people. Like,
I don't know. That kind of scares me.
Why so?
Why's that?
I don't know. I just, it's weird kind of mentality I have. Like, I feel uncomfortable with humanity getting super, like, not dependent on machines, but really reliant on the advancement of civilization, on just automation and just systems like that, because if something goes wrong with those systems, we're set back and screwed.
Mm-hmm. Basically. So you think we're heading more towards like a Wall-E, to make a pop culture reference, like a Wall-E society and not like a Star Trek?
I was thinking more along the lines of like Dune, where eventually we start to like lose our capacity for like more free and creative thought, and we're more dictated by calculation and automation, which like you see in already in like Netflix, like they base their programming off of an algorithm of what will keep people interested rather than creative decisions. Mm-hmm. And like it's affecting things outside of just like you know, like truck driving. It's having an impact on all industries.
It's just a little creepy. To an extent, we're already kind of past that point where everything is so interconnected with how technology is advancing and how globalized the world is now.
Yeah.
Really, any sort of outage in any one of our integral systems will just cause massive devastation.
Yeah.
And I guess we can view automation sort of furthering that issue.
Well, I think that's an interesting point that Riley made about because, you know, I've always thought of it in a context of like automation would lead to more creativity because people aren't just doing bullshit stuff all day long and have time to like be creative. But I think that's a nice like other side of that, like the double-edged sword is that like on Spotify, like you hear a lot about how people hate Spotify because it like limits the potential of like underground or like grassroots music groups and like artists because like you pay to get featured on playlists that Spotify will like give to you. And like,
oh, do you? I actually didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you're like Spotify curates all your fucking music and like, they don't just do that. Like, they don't say, oh, this is a new creative musician. They say, oh, well, this label, this musician is on this label and they're paying us.
Oh, well, I'm not so worried about that. But, like, payola, like, that's just payola in a new form in a digital era. But, like, I don't know. Just, like, the notion of, like, you're losing the kind of feeling of more so just kind of stumbling across, like, I don't know, some underground record or some like oldies record or something, or you find some CD or you hear it on the radio. It's more and more relying on these streaming sites that collect all of our data. And they have these like algorithms just to be like, oh, you would probably like this song. And typically you do, but like, it's almost like they're being, your culture is being spoon fed to you based on a profile based on data, which is alarming.
Which is, yeah, which is alarming, but also like, more like, how do you say that, not saying that you're saying this, but isn't it just like overall way cooler that people aren't doing a bunch of stupid shit all day long for horrible pay? And like,
yeah,
like, you know what I mean?
But I'm worried that with the rate that we develop technology, I'm worried that we're going to get to a point where it's like, oh, like a lot of these jobs are just like completely unnecessary. We can just have machines do all this. I'm worried that we're going to have that like, what is it, turnover, turnaround on like how that labor is enacted either through machines or through these actual people working, doing these menial bullshit jobs. Like, what are they going to do after that? Like, suddenly they just have all of this time, or they're forced to like, I don't know, learn how to code to operate these like machines or whatever. They have to completely like relearn how to exist. That's a scary existential thing to think about.
So, one of the pushbacks, like I tend to sort of side on the side that automation should be a good thing, and like I agree with Josh's point that it would totally be better if people didn't have to just bullshit around all day doing jobs that they fucking hate just so they can earn a living wage. But in the current political systems that we have, especially in the United States, I'm not sure how automation will fix that, because I just don't see, like, these people are just going to be put out of jobs, and I don't really have any faith in the government to sort of transition to them to any other job.
No. I mean, we're kind of seeing trends like this already, though, like with the rise of the service economy and the gig economy, like rather than manufacturing. I think that's probably like the most likely scenario for, I mean, if people are to continue working in a transition to a UBI thing. Like it's going to be service things. It's going to be gigs. Like people are like, there's going to be a lot of restaurants, a lot of restaurant jobs. Yeah, medical industry is not going anywhere.
Freelance Uber Eats driver.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Well, yeah, I guess that's my point though. Like unless we do institute something like a UBI or move closer to socialism, then these people are just going to kind of be fucked over. Like, This McKinsey report that I pulled from my paper, They estimate that between 400 million and 800 million individuals could be displaced by automation and need to find new jobs by 2030. So if there's no safety net for them when they do initially get put out of their jobs to sort of retrain and find something else that they can do to earn a living wage, then they're kind of just fucked.
I hate being like the devil's advocate.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you don't at all.
I know. I'm just like, for the sake of conversation, I'm trying to be, you know, stimulating. But like, how big of a drop in employment would that cause, like today, compared to like the huge crash in like 2008? When all those people lost their jobs, like what would that?
Well, probably a lot bigger, yeah, on the scale that more. Liam
substantially
just said.
More. Oh well, that's not good.
Like ridiculously more. 800 million individuals.
That's worldwide, though, and I mean
that is worldwide, but we're talking about worldwide impact.
But like by 2030, that starts like in the next decade. That's like virtual countries only. Like that's not impacting like sub-Saharan Africa or India or anything like that. Like that's first. Oh,
God, it's
is that like
going to turn 7%?
That's like 7% of the entire global employment.
Yeah.
That's like way, way worse than the 2008 crash, which I don't have a number on, but.
Oh, I thought we were talking about just in America.
Well,
we're focusing on America, but like the 400, 800 million number is like a worldwide number.
And most of those numbers are probably American numbers because it's not like automation. Like automation is an inherently like first world country concept.
Mm-hmm. Oh God!
You can probably push back on that, but
we're moving too fast.
So I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that can automation benefit everyone under capitalism?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, no.
Well, I mean. I don't know. Capitalism and socialism, like, I don't know. Because, like, what I've been reading into as a, like, solution to this is, like, a very much market-based solution that isn't, like, an inherently socialist idea. So, like, I don't know if you're
referring to the wealth fund, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And also, like, federal job guarantees. Like, they aren't, like communist ideas.
Can you break that down for a policy stupid person like myself?
Yeah, what is the wealth fund?
All right, so the wealth fund is not a new idea. Okay. It's stand by like a decent amount of people. Matt Bruning's really into it.
I've seen his stuff. I haven't read it, but I've seen it.
Yeah, I skimmed through, like, he wrote like a short little book.
Okay.
Type thing about his idea for an American social wealth fund. His two most prominent examples of like, so I guess I'll explain what a wealth fund is.
Yeah.
So it's basically like an entity of assets that like a public, like is publicly owned and traded, and then like the profits and like that are accumulated by those assets year by year are distributed back to the people that own them, which in this case is the public.
Okay.
So like Alaska has one. Like in the 20th century, like a conservative Alaskan governor took like oil revenues, threw them into a fund, like used those revenues to like buy assets and threw them all in like a public fund. And like since 1982, like every year, every single Alaskan citizen gets like a dividend from the fund every year.
Oh,
so like,
yeah, think of it like an index fund. Like if you know what the like the S&P 500. If you were to invest in the S&P 500, you're essentially getting like a tiny, tiny share in each of the 500 companies. It's like that, but on a much bigger scale, and it's owned by the government. So like, it's essentially like the government's investing in stocks and then taking the profit from those stocks and distributing it to the people.
Oh, that's so interesting.
How is that money distributed? Is it just
completely
to everyone?
Completely to everyone, which like statistically
no means testing or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, which is good because if you think so, like last year, I think the number was around $1,000 every Alaskan citizen got. But like, if you make $20,000 a year, that's like a 5% of your income. Yeah. Whereas if you are a millionaire, it's a splash, or it's like a drop in a bucket. Mm-hmm. So it does, in that regard, just like decrease, it combats income inequality because there's no means testing.
That's good. I like that.
And like a really crazy thing is that like Nixon like almost instituted it in the 60s, like in 1968. Yeah, they tested it, dude. They had like a pilot program and like like Nixon tested it, found that like because people would say, oh well, if we were just giving everyone money, people would just stop working, right?
Yeah, I was grappling with that question earlier today when we were
well, they don't empirically
with that scale of money, though, like $1,000 per year isn't enough for someone to stop working. It's a supplement to the or it's a complement to the income, not a supplement.
Right. Okay, yeah. But the main effect is full time to part time work.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Which I like that.
And like the main like beneficiaries and people that their work style changes are like single moms and like people in their 20s that like the only reason people work less is because either they have kids or they want to like further their education.
They have legitimate reasons to not
work less. They're not just like,
it's not just them sitting back on the couch and doing absolutely fuck all. They're like actually trying to further themselves or provide for their family.
That's like a complete fallacy of a concept.
It seems like a really good short-term solution. Like the 2030 number. You're definitely not going to get enough support nationwide to implement a full universal basic income for everyone in the country, not means tested. It's just not practical in that time frame. But a social wealth fund seems like a good bridge gap.
I don't know, man. When B2O Rourke wins in 2020, I think it's going to be his it's like tentpole policy. It's very realistic.
I heard what he's going to run on.
He's going to run on that and being in a band.
Sexy policy issue, 2020 social wealth funds.
Everyone gets not $1,000 a year. Everyone gets 1,000 skateboards a year.
You get 1,000 Chuck E. Cheese tokens from Stepdad B2.
Yes! Skee-ball for everyone.
He would win, dude.
That's Praxis, a skee-ball for everybody.
I'm a Beto guy now.
B2.
Yeah, we got it, Riley. We got it. We fucking got it.
It's a funny joke.
Oh, God.
Instead of universal basic income, it's just universal basic trips to Chuck E. Cheese's.
Yeah. Universal basic tokens.
The new economy.
All right, so you were talking about that shift towards more part-time work. I know there's a lot of an effort to like change the whole like notion of like the 9-to-5, 40-hour Monday through Saturday work week, basically, like, you know, either like reduce hours or like restructure how much you work in the day. Like, how would that like dovetail into that? Is there any like crossover between these notions that you know of?
What you mean, like people are like the whole like shorter work week thing?
Yeah,
they're trying out. Well, I mean, like that's like the 40-hour work week is like what a like 1911 concept. Like, it's not like a universal like law that like the work week is. Yeah, like, and I think they've tried it in like some Nordic countries where they like work 4 days a week or something, and they find that people are more productive because like in a 40-hour work week you're going to spend some of those hours being like, man, my job fucking sucks, and you're just gonna like
it's just
fuck,
office
fuck
space.
Around
more productive in terms like of like the work out. Done or are like on the aggregate as a member of society, like is it just a
work
corporate
done.
Thing okay
is how I've heard it.
Okay,
maybe because you're getting more actual work done, you feel more satisfied as an individual.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, also just the fact that you have less time to get your shit done. Like they're giving them the same tasks, but they're giving them 8 less hours to do it. So instead of
so they're doing 4x8, they're not doing 4x10.
No. What I've heard is literal less hours.
Okay.
Same productivity. I don't have anything to back this up, but
That's on, like, with how productivity has increased and how it's going to continue to increase with us, especially with automation. There's no need to work as much as we did because productivity is so much higher than it was.
Oh yeah, it's been like skyrocketing for decades.
Yeah, since like the late 70s. I have the stat in front of me here. The wages for the real wages in terms of like buying power have actually decreased since 1979. And then with the rise of technology and everything, productivity is just skyrocketing. So, like, there's more work being done, there's more income being generated, but the results are only being seen by a very small class of society, like the owner class.
Woo. I have a question about this automation thing.
Go for it.
We're seeing, you know, automation crop up more in like manufacturing and food service and like driving.
Mm-hmm.
Basically all low skill jobs can be automated at this point.
Yeah, I've seen those like Twitter videos of the Cambridge people building those machines or whatever, like
the Terminator robots. Yeah,
like those, like, we're basically making an indestructible like learning machine, which is a great idea. But like, who is making these? Like, who's programming all this automated machinery? Like, who is benefiting from this like the most right now?
It's a big corporation. I can answer that.
Go ahead. Yeah, more experience than any of us with this computer.
So, Riley, do you remember Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? The new one.
Okay, yeah.
With Count Dooku's the dentist.
Yeah, of course.
His father used to put the caps on the toothpaste as his job. Then he learned how to make the machine that put the caps on the toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I had. That was a complete riff. I actually don't even remember the actual question, and I don't want to answer it.
Wow, thank you. I was just saying, like, who is really doing all of this automation? Who's doing the automating?
It's corporate driven. Like, it's all the big companies, like McDonald's.
Is it internal, or is it Silicon Valley weirdos?
Silicon Valley weirdos. Actually, not to bring this back, but they're super into the UBI idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
interesting.
But it's like a bit, though. It's like a disruption bit, like disrupting,
disrupting paychecks.
Yeah.
God.
But it's a weird.
Save the world?
It's a weird synthesis of like libertarians want it, and I could go into. I don't want. It's, never mind. Just talk about what you're going to talk about. But I could. I have another. I guess, but like, it's just. A lot of socialists don't like UBI because they say it doesn't actually tackle the fundamental failings of capitalism and, like, labor.
How about it functions as a safety net while you go after that?
Well, yeah, that's what any rational person would say. Like, oh, yeah, if we could tangibly make people's lives a little bit better, let's try to do it. But then
what fucking leftism is? And if it doesn't, I'm just going to completely shut down all discussion about it.
It's the classic scared of winning concept.
What the fuck do we do now?
In a way, UBI kind of is a lifeline for capitalism, which is why I think you see a lot of Silicon Valley weirdos in support of it, because it really just gives people more purchasing power to kind of keep Silicon Valley going.
This is the Pulp Fiction adrenaline shot that's going to save the American economy. The free market will only survive if we start taking more, like, socialist-esque.
Yeah, just, like, give everyone money to just,
we're creating
like, buy
some kind
a bunch
freakish
of shit.
Economic Frankenstein. Oh, God. It's over. It's all over.
Well, I want to propose... Okay. Another popular like manifestation of UBI. So UBI could be accomplished through a wealth fund, like a massive wealth fund. I'm pretty sure Brunig.
It sounds like UTI, by the way.
Yeah, a little bit. Anyway.
go.
I think Brunig estimates that to be on an Alaskan level, we would need like a $22.6 trillion fund, which like wouldn't be as hard to come up with as you'd think. It's basically like, because this
that's
money,
an annual fund, like 22.6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but like this money exists. It's just currently owned by like companies.
Yeah, I have
These profits exist already, and they're massive. So taking a chunk of that and giving it back to the people is what they're talking about. But and also Norway, he talks about Norway a lot. Like the Norwegian government owns like 70%. This is a complete guess, and it might be exaggeration, but like 70% of like the GDP is from like Norwegian owned assets. Like,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, smart. It's like ridiculous. Like their fund is ridiculously big.
Let's just nationalize the Marvel movies.
But the other
we'll have that money.
The other manifestation of UBI that you hear people argue for, and Ocasio-Cortez, I think, really has been talking about this lately a lot, is the job guarantee. And Sanders, as mentioned.
Yeah.
But it's basically the same exact thing. But instead of just giving people that money, they have to, like, work for it in some regard. Which, I don't know what you guys think about that, but...
I mean, it's like a cop-out, kind of, if we're being honest. Like...
People argue that like it's sort of human intuition to want to work and earn that money by themselves, but it still doesn't move far enough away from me from the wage slavery idea, where even though they now are guaranteed a job, they're still working a job that they probably hate just to be able to survive.
Right.
Well, maybe.
I'm gonna take the opposite stance, because I think that, like, work. First of all, like, it's a Keynesian ass idea, but I think that like there's a lot of value in like work and not doing nothing.
Productivity, though, not necessarily like corporate whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just doing, like spending your time. Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But like, I think the way I think of it is like, I think the nature of work could be like just completely redefined. So like if you contribute to like community projects in your local community, then like you earn your dividend every year. So that could look like, I don't know, like volunteering or like stuff that isn't actually work the way we think about it today.
Yeah, like it's not profit generating, but it's still productive.
I mean, right. It's not like it's working like to benefit the community or society.
Parish or something like that, or in a synagogue.
I guess. I'm not saying I have any like explicit examples, but I'm saying that that could be an example of like changing the nature of work. Because the way I think about it is not like, okay, everyone has a $15 minimum wage job, but you have to go like fucking slaughter pigs. Like like, you know, that could be automated, but instead of just sitting around and doing nothing, you know, go pick up trash. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. That feels like a pretty solid way to combat automation and sort of stymie the risk that it presents. Because you're not forcing people to work these lower skill jobs, like I said, sort of just as a wage slave. But you actually do something that provides fulfillment not only for you but for your community while all those other jobs are being automated.
Maybe we could dovetail some of these new like guaranteed jobs into the Green New Deal that's been thrown around, you know.
Do any of you have a good understanding of what the Green New Deal entails?
I haven't read enough into it yet.
Yeah.
No, I don't know shit about it.
Like, don't like it, and a lot of people are super into it, so it's probably like fine.
Who knows if it's good or bad?
Yeah.
Is Ocasio-Cortez the only one that's sort of co-signed to it right now?
There's like a dozen of them.
Yeah.
There's like 11.
It's like pretty like. There's no like surprising names in there.
Yeah,
it's not like Mitch McConnell's super into it.
No, and there's also 11 out of how many people are in the House?
15,000.
435.
So progress,
including Corey.
Oh, Good old Cory.
You mean 2020 president-elect Cory Booker?
2020.
I was thinking more Cory in the House, but...
Oh, my God. That's his fucking campaign slogan right there. Hey, Cory in the House. Also, I profited off that tear gas company.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, what the fuck did we hear about him recently?
That fucking sucks. He's
the tear gas guy.
That fucking rocks.
That rocks.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Cory Booker's in the news. Did he do something good? Fucking of course not. Because he's in the news.
I have to admit, though, if he did run on the platform that he would remake the Cory in the House TV show while he's in office, I don't
know. That's what UBI yeah, really needs. Universal Booker income.
That's the end game right there.
Lee, well, Alex, you were saying that the 2030, like, what is that, goalpost is, like, a bit unrealistic. What's a realistic time frame for you for this kind of thing to be implemented for every American, like well, in a Star Trek?
It's never going to happen, but...
I mean, frankly, never, but... but if the societal upheaval is as significant as it seems like it could be, and people kind of get off the whole capitalism bandwagon, which, again, I don't see happening on a mass level. I mean, like, there's still, like, Donald Trump is our president right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
debatable.
Not my president.
Well, personally. Here's the thing. He's just going to make a deal. He's going to make a deal with the robots, and we'll be fine. President Deal's back at it.
Wait a minute. I've seen The Matrix. I know how this fucking ends.
But yeah, I mean, frankly, like,
be the Merovingian. God damn it.
Like I don't have a good answer to that question, Riley. It's not like I'm sitting here crunching numbers as to when, like, shifts, as of, like, when the tides of public opinion are going to change. Like, I don't know, but it's
before
not going to happen in the next
after
12 years.
My proposed, well, it all ends timeline.
After, wonderful. Yeah. All right, so we move into, like, a social wealth fund in, like, 8 years, and then everything ends in, like, 15-20. And then we have Mad Max.
My timeline
Mad
is like
Max for like another 25 years.
Oh, and then Mad Max would be undoubtedly a fun time to live in. If you were one of
Mad Max, you do have a universal basic income. Mm-hmm. It's just gasoline and water.
It's
you can't have a less means tested way of distributing resources to society than dumping them from large decorated mountaintops.
The thundering surf bucket idea, where they just you in your tube, you hold on underneath the bridge and get just dumped on, dude. We could do that with coins, dude. And that is UBI.
That's a new crypto.
Guys, it's called the gig economy. I wake up and to get me through law school, I work as a blood bag on the cars. It's like what I do. And I'm losing weight. I look great, but sometimes I just want to have a little more job satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, hold on, we're doing a raid. I gotta go.
Well,
so say we are taking that 2030 goalpost, and I'm pretty sure we all sort of agree that some sort of massive upheaval isn't possible by that time. But in the world where it is, what would have to happen for significant change to sort of go down?
Another economic
people
collapse.
Lose their jobs. People lose their jobs.
Accelerationism. I mean,
global warming. Yeah, we haven't really even touched on how that's gonna. I mean, it's kind of a reach, but I mean,
more machines, more pollution. That's just.
It's just hard for like us to conceptualize what that would look like, because like massive economic and social upheaval like did happen in 2008 or should have happened in 2008, and like nothing came of it. So like how do you conceptualize of a world where like things change after bad things happen? Because like that's
something
never
really bad dumb. Has to happen.
Yeah, but like, is that okay? So then, is that so bad that we destroy ourselves?
I think that, you know, I've made this clear. Like, I don't have like this notion that like the as it exists right now is going to exist for the entirety of my life, because I don't know. Things are incredibly uncertain. small events can have massive repercussions. And I just think that there's going to be some kind of insane, colossal event within our lifetimes that does radically alter how our government works or how the world government works. There's going to be some kind of ecological disaster. Maybe the world economy just tanks overnight, and then suddenly most, you know, fiat currency is just suddenly unviable. I don't know.
I don't think any of that's going to happen, honestly.
What's this, right now, man?
I think that the way it's going to be achieved is just chipping away over time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is certainly promise, like, with recent elections, and if the left, I mean, any solutions that we've talked about today are not super fleshed out and are not, like, we don't know that we have the funds to, like, have a wealth fund like that. Do we have the, like, resources? Do we have the...
You definitely don't have the legislative, like, power, right?
Well, yeah, no, I'm not even... The left seems to be focusing on. I'm not even talking about achieving it. I'm talking about literally just, like, if we could, like, if we had the legislative power to achieve it, like, could we even realize it? Yeah, that's not even agreed upon.
What the fuck is it?
Like, job guarantee is, like... There's a lot of debate over, like, if that's the solution, or, like, no one knows how to actually, like, if we got to that point, do, like, accomplish that. But, you know, that's – who cares? Like, we could figure that out if we got to that point.
We need to fucking – we need to try something, because time's ticking, and we should try to act before this fucking massive collapse happens, but – No one's capable of sort of conceptualizing that far into the future.
Right, which is the nature of, like, why global warming is so never going to be
fixed. What was the report that came out recently? Like, we're basically fucked in how long?
Oh, yeah, so if we don't make massive societal changes within the next, like, year and a half, 2 years...
Within the Donald Trump presidency.
Yeah, naturally. And when I say we, I don't mean, like, the United States of America specifically, like, on a global level, to reduce the rate of warming, like, massive, massive societal upheaval, oceans warming, sea levels rising.
Did anyone send that report to the Chinese?
Oh, no, they didn't get it.
I told you to text Xi Jinping,
our good friend.
It's in my messages. Friend of the show. Send. Oh my god.
Friend of the show, Xi Jinping. Shout out, Xi.
maybe we'll get him on next episode.
I was wondering why he didn't text me back. I thought he was mad at me.
The coolest thing about global warming and climate change is that if we just immediately stopped right now, like, releasing emissions into the atmosphere, like, whatever, if we stopped everything horrible, like, right now, everyone in the world, like, we would still be warmed, like, 2 degrees
in a few decades.
Like, it's like...
Well, what if the Easter Bunny was Santa Claus? It's nice to think of these imaginary scenarios, so, like, what's the point? I love that.
Well, how are we going to pay for global warming?
Yeah.
Burn money.
Print more money.
You'll find out that you can't eat money eventually. And it's like, no, I'll have been fucking cooked alive by solar radiation before I even think about
eating. The only thing I'll be eating is the rich.
Thank God it's going to be like my fucking kids and not me. I mean, like, I'm...
No, it's going to be us. It is 100%
I'm
going
to get, like, skin cancer. But at least I'm not going to have to, like, eat another human being.
No, I mean, what's good is that the ozone layer is coming back. So the ozone's chill. It's not going to be, like, radiation. We're just going to drown.
Oh, cool.
I'm down to drown.
Dude, supposedly drowning Waterworld, like, is fairly peaceful. I forget where. I probably read that on Reddit.
Apparently, like, trip out.
Dude, I would 100% rather drown than burn to death. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, but right. Would you rather skin cancer to death?
Ooh.
I would rather.
You could, like,
work
smoke pot.
40-hour work week, a job every week, and live a fulfilled, happy life working in a coal mine, then I die when I'm 37.
All right, so automation.
well, the positives of getting skin cancer is, like, at least you'll be able to get a medical card.
Right, exactly. You could just smoke pot all day, and you would have 6 scars from getting your skin fucking cut out.
Dude, girls
and
love scars.
And you'd never get a job because you have UBI.
Girls love scars.
Pot. You could tell people that you were in a war, that you got cut by a knife one time.
All right, so yeah, I think we just reached our conclusion that the best end game here is skin cancer.
Yeah.
Oh well, I had a
universal
creative way we could reduce this risk.
Sunscreen.
I don't know.
No, a creative way we could reduce the risk of like automation and then like the whole need for like a UBI or a social wealth fund or all of that.
Primitivism. Friends, go to our what friend's house.
Destroy the machines. Destroy the machines.
I, you know, from the first, no, you dude, find, the, from the first time you opened your mouth, I knew you were going to a fucking Unabomber like tilt.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first thing you said, you were like, "Well, what if Netflix is too good at knowing what I want to watch?" like seriously, I was like, "Well, here we all. Fucking go, dude."
No, that's fucking true though. Maniac, the director was like, "Yeah, they said like here's what you should do," and I was like, "But I wanted to do this," and they're like, "You get like 4 creative decisions an episode," and I was like, "That sounds like the death of art. We did it. We finally killed it."
All right, so Riley, here's what you need to do. You need to just reorganize the Luddites.
Yeah, dude, they had a good idea going. They're just like, this shit's going way too fast. Like, you know, I think we are just developing technology way too quickly for a species to handle. Like, we're still kind of figuring out the atom bomb. And then we made, like, another bigger one, like, 10 years later, because we're like, no, we want another.
Well, like, yeah, but we had to test it on someone. We couldn't just not have people die.
We gotta slow down.
What happened to this podcast? I thought things were going well.
Yeah, we really,
really got off the rails.
I think it's going great.
We're moving in with technology way too early in this relationship. We don't know the full picture.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Technology so might for be the bad. Remainder of this 7-hour podcast, our friend Riley will be reading the full Unabomber manifesto.
All right. Let's wrap things up.
I don't agree with the manifesto. I am not a terrorist.
Yeah, no, the thing is, he was right. But yeah, all right. Uh-huh. So let's put a bubble.
All right. Yeah. No, that's a good jumping off point. Riley sort of started with conclusions here. What other conclusions do you guys have?
I don't think we have any other real choice but to be I mean, this sounds pretty fucking rich coming from me, but I don't think we have any choice but to force ourselves to be optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck else are you going to do? Cry?
Productively like, optimistic, though. Like you can't right, sit here and be like, oh, everything's going to be fine. Like, we need to work towards a better future.
Right. It could.
I'll tweet
and
about
hope
it.
A better future can happen. We like.
I got a post.
And don't be like Riley.
Yeah. So, like, obviously there's a lot of really cool ideas about how people's lives could be, like, especially workers' lives could be made better. We touched on a few of them. They're not completely fleshed out, but, like, the fact is that, like, there are manifestations of these ideas that work really well in the world right now.
Yeah.
And they're not fucking pie in the sky, like, huge communist concepts. They're just, like, pretty fucking normal concepts that help people.
The index funds have been a popular mechanism for investing for decades now. It's just on a national level.
Right. And
for that example.
Like Brunig talks about, like just to show that this is defined in like such capitalistic terms, Brunig even talks about how, like I'm going to sum this up horribly, but the government could borrow money from the treasury and literally just put that in the S&P 500.
Yeah.
And profit the difference between whatever the rate is on government bonds, which is like 3%, and like how much the S&P has been profiting, which is like 11%. So that's like 8% on just doing nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that like within the system that we're in right now, there are solutions that could make workers' lives tangibly better. And there's definitely I think there's promise, and I think that like there's people that understand this, and Sanders needs to win in 2020 is the main thing that I'm trying to say here.
would you define this as like a viable medium term goal for like the American left of like where they should be going in terms of like labor and economics?
I mean,
because they have a pretty clear vision of where they're going with healthcare. Like,
right,
a lot of people are basically just on board the Medicare for All train. Is this like the labor equivalent of just like, all right, everyone, let's like try and get towards this?
I don't know within, what I can like, say about that, because
I mean, it's a viable medium-term goal.
Yeah, and it's also not a labor. It's not really like there's people that argue that it's like a horrible labor idea because it relies on markets, and if anything, strengthens the concept of markets.
So,
but I think, yeah, like I would say, yeah,
it's something at the very least.
Yeah,
I think my way of putting a bow on this is just that like we can't do nothing. Automation is a very real threat to this. To the American labor force, it's a threat to people's incomes. It's a threat to people's livelihoods. If corporations aren't held in check and if people aren't properly provided for, bad things will happen, and we can't just sit by idly and wait for that to happen.
Right. Not even from an empathetic standpoint, but just from a like
practical societal.
People will kill everyone.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah. Just an existence standpoint.
And even like if all these automation figures, you know, people probably contest them and people say, well, you know, automation is not going to be that big of an issue. Jobs will change, whatever. Like people's lives still suck.
To some extent, yeah. They will, but not enough to offset it completely.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying if it gets into a point where there's like, you know, but like someone could argue, or like the fucking ghouls in Congress on the right could argue, mm-hmm. like your lives aren't that bad, whatever. This is still some of the concepts we've talked about today are still just cool ideas that like even today could be instituted and would help people.
Yeah. And I think it's definitely myopic to focus just on like just on America as we're doing, but none of us are really global policy experts or global economics experts. But like with the rise of globalization, which should continue to happen, this is something that can elevate the quality of people's lives all over the world.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
if handled correctly.
That puts us at 47 minutes. That seems like a good jumping off point right there. Yeah. I'm sure we could go on for fucking hours about this shit.
Oh my
but,
god.
We don't want to do that. So
yeah, how about just some really riffs? How about some riffs finish up to that?
Off recording.
I don't know what I'm feeling right now. How about no, I don't have anything.
Yeah, maybe we'll be back with another episode at some point. Who knows? No guarantees.
We're fucking so lazy.
This took incredibly so much lazy. Out of me.
I'm still just grasping on to the last hope that I have in life of being a podcaster or a Twitch streamer. So that's
at the same damn time.
Bernie Tfue 2020.
Dude, I could get behind a Tfue presidency.
No, vice president. He's Bernie's vice president.
Yeah, me too.
He's a real Dick Cheney. Like
he's pulling the strings.
He's pulling the strings.
All right, this has been fun. I'll talk to you guys.
All right, later, guys. Thanks for hopping on the pod, and we're out.
Bye.